Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Of the many people that Paul names in the closing verses of Colossians, most were relatively unknown to the church at Colossae. And that is one of the reasons why Paul is naming them, describing them, saying something about them, introducing them to the church, in some cases actually paving the way for them to visit the church at Colossae. But today, as we move along to verses 12 and 13, we come to the name of a man who was well known to the church. Exceedingly well known. And I refer to Epaphras, who was apparently the founder of the church. Now, let's review the ones we have looked at so far. Tychicus, verses 7 and 8, was a faithful messenger, unknown to them, but now introduced as he is bringing to them the Colossian epistle as well as the one to Philemon. Onesimus, in verse 9, who was a slave who ran away from Philemon, a member of the church in Colossae. Aristarchus, Mark, and Jesus Justus, in verses 10 and 11, who were three Jewish Christians who labored with Paul in Rome. Barnabas, mentioned in verse 10, an outstanding evangelist and early church leader. But now we come to Epaphras, who is another effective evangelist, and we are going to look at the characteristics that made Epaphras such an effective servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. So please gather around as we open the Word of God on this Thursday, July 27, and we are able to do so because of the financial gifts that come from radio listeners just like you. All right, the text is verse 12 and 13 of Colossians chapter 4. And Paul writes, Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you, and those who are in Laodicea, and those in Hierapolis. Okay, who is this man called Epaphras? Epaphras is his name, and that is a shortened form of the name Epaphroditus. He is a Gentile. His hometown is Colossae. Paul mentions here that he is one of you, and that's what he means by that. He's a citizen of your town and actually a member of your church. And according to Paul's description of him, he is a bondservant of Christ, a doulos of Christ. Now, we have no way of knowing what kind of work he pursued formerly before he became a Christian and a Christian evangelist. The term doulos Paul uses only of himself and Timothy and Epaphras, interestingly. You might think that that would be a common term that Paul would use of others, but it turns out not to be the case. It is apparently a term, therefore, that is reserved only for those who are involved in the highest level of Christian service. Again, I repeat, this term, bondservant of Christ, doulos, the Apostle Paul only uses of himself, and he does of himself frequently, of Timothy, who was his closest ministry partner, and of Epaphras, nobody else. And I say that, therefore, would seem to indicate that this term is reserved for the highest level of Christian service. Now, that's what we know about him according to our text in Colossians, but there are a couple of other places that we can turn. Actually, only three others, but let's examine them quickly. The first one is in the opening verses of this same epistle. Back to Colossians chapter 1, we read in verse 7, "As you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit." He is called here a faithful evangelist, a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and a messenger of the Colossian church to Paul. And that's going the other direction. In other words, Epaphras carried news from Colossae to Paul in Rome, and that's mentioned in chapter 1. And then Paul is sending him back to Colossae to carry news from Paul in Rome. So it's a two-way communication that's going on here, and Epaphras is the faithful messenger in both cases. He faithfully carries needed information from Colossae to Paul in Rome. He returns by carrying information from Paul in Rome to Colossae. He is also named in the Philemon epistle, which is not surprising because, of course, as we've already seen, Philemon was a member of the church in Colossae as well. And here's what we read in the 23rd verse of that one chapter epistle. "Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you." My fellow prisoner in Christ. Now, I think we may have mentioned that earlier, but I point out that that term, fellow prisoner, is not used of Epaphras in Colossians. It is used in Colossians of Aristarchus. It is used in Philemon of Epaphras, but not of Aristarchus, which is kind of interesting. And therefore, it appears to me, as I take all of this into account, that what Paul is saying is that these men, both of them, Aristarchus, that we talked about earlier, because he came up earlier in the list, he was in verse 10, "Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you." And now Epaphras, who's not called a fellow prisoner in Colossians, but is called one in Philemon, I think the conclusion that I draw is that both of these men were extremely dedicated servants of the Lord Jesus Christ who were willing to go to any extent in order to serve Christ faithfully, including imprisonment, and I would say even martyrdom. And they had attached themselves to the ministry of Paul in Rome as Paul was a prisoner. And because Paul was somewhat confined, well, I shouldn't say somewhat, he was chained to a Roman soldier. That's pretty serious confinement, just because he wasn't in a jail behind bars, but rather in a rental house, doesn't mean that his situation allowed him much additional freedom. It was more convenient in some respects because, of course, he could invite people into his house and converse with them, teach them, carry out ministry assignments with them, to discuss the work of the Lord, a lot of things that he probably couldn't have done if he had, in fact, been confined to a prison cell. But as far as his own personal movement is concerned, there wasn't much difference. He wasn't free to leave the one location where he was placed. He was chained to a Roman soldier, and they changed the guard four times a day. So actually, in the course of a day, he would be chained to four different Roman soldiers, 6 hours at a time. And that's pretty confining, and Paul, I think, is saying Epaphras has been willing to come and to enter into that confinement with me for the cause of Christ. I consider him a fellow prisoner, and Paul almost seems to be using that like an honorary title. to indicate a high level of sacrificial service. And so, although doulos, bondservant, is used by Paul only of himself, Timothy, and Epaphras, Aristarchus also gets the honorary title of prisoner. He's a fellow prisoner. He is as willing to be a prisoner for the cause of Christ as I am. He has shown himself willing to do so by coming and ministering to me in these confining circumstances. He is here identified with me, a prisoner of Jesus Christ in Rome, which puts him under a rather unwelcome spotlight because Paul, of course, is being carefully observed by the Roman government, and anybody who's identified with him would come under some level of suspicion that perhaps they are threats to Rome, as Paul would assume to be if he's a prisoner of Rome getting ready to go on trial before Caesar. There must be some reason why he's in that situation. And here are people who are willing to be fully identified with Paul in that situation without any thought of the personal cost that this could create for them down the road. It could literally make them prisoners of Rome. If somebody said, I've watched these guys, they're spending an awful lot of time around Paul, I think we better throw them in prison and keep an eye on them until this whole case gets resolved, because they may be doing something illegal. And apparently there were Christians in Rome who were concerned enough about that they stayed away from Paul. Remember, that's what Paul talked about earlier when he says, Aristarchus, Barnabas, and Jesus, who is called Justus, these are my only fellow workers to the kingdom of God who are of the circumcision. Well, where were all the other Christian Jews in Rome, the other Christians who were of the circumcision in Rome? There had to be a sizable number, but evidently they were all staying a very safe and calculated distance from Paul, because a too close connection with him could be hazardous to their own freedom, to their own situation, their own comfort in Rome, but not Aristarchus and not Epaphras. In other words, they had the opposite attitude that is found by most people in the world, which is protect yourself at all costs, spare yourself from any possible liability if you can, do nothing to incur loss or disadvantage. Take care of yourself. You're number one. You've got to treat yourself as number one because nobody else is going to. Everybody else is treating themselves as number one. So you're going to have to treat yourself as number one. Take care of yourself because nobody else will. That's the philosophy of the world. That is, unfortunately, a philosophy that at least in part is imbibed by some Christians, but not these two. Not Epaphras. He was willing to lose himself for Christ, which Jesus teaches us is really the only way to genuine gain. Who was it who said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose? You can't keep anything in this world anyway. Whatever you gain in this world, you're going to give it all up when you leave this world. So he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Whatever you do for the cause of Christ can never be lost. It will be yours for eternity. That's, I think, what Paul is saying about Epaphras. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.